university affiliation. I am not with the University of California, Berkeley. I actually never was. I used to be with the University of California, San Francisco, which Magnet Gay Men's Community Health Center was a part of, but we had just been assumed by the San Francisco AIDS Foundation as of last July. So we're here to talk about taking sexual health out of the closet and into the community, primarily in San Francisco. So why gay men's health in the community? In San Francisco in the late 90s and early 2000s, after 20 years of HIV prevention and a really successful decline in new infection rates, we saw rising HIV infection rates among the gay men's community and rising syphilis rates among gay men in San Francisco. That's important because in San Francisco, unlike most other cities and places in the United States at this point, the HIV endemic remains in gay men. Approximately 90% of new infections are in gay men in San Francisco. So there was a need to produce and direct new and innovative programs that were unlike others as we saw increases in rates that we thought we had under control. There were also no services specifically for gay men in San Francisco. Now, in our heads, that was a shock. But for a community that's so well ingrained inside the community, inside the greater community, that made some sense if you think backwards about it. There were services for transgender people. There were services for sex workers. There were services for women. There were no services for gay men or services within the neighborhood where most gay men live and work or play. The local neighborhood health center had made a decision to go away from STD testing or that type of testing and do family planning services instead. So in the late 90s, there was a public-private collaboration started by Bristol-Myers Squibb Virology, which actually was then DuPont Pharmaceuticals, which started giving the city of San Francisco large amounts of money on a matching grant basis with Mayor Brown's office to do these new programs. That also coincided with a summit of local individuals and the health department people looking at gay men's health in San Francisco. And from that, the HIV Prevention Planning Council, the local CDC-CPG, I'm sorry to use those acronyms, prioritized gay men as one of the communities really needing to be prioritized for those fundings. So, Michael Siever from the Stonewall Project, which was a substance use program within UCSF, submitted a recommendation or an RFP in that process. It was selected, and an advisory board called Castro Guys was developed and took it from there. Castro Guys had two key questions to really look at. One is, do we just want to have a place where you test people and get them out the door, or do you want to encourage them to hang out? Do you really want to have a community atmosphere going on there? And since it is about sexual health, do you want to be explicit in your activities, or do you want to try and keep it all sort of under the covers, things that are traditional in most STD clinics, but we didn't want to do the same thing. To generate interest over a two-year planning process before we opened the clinic within the community, a few things were done. A slogan had to be made up. So they came up with, "We need it bad," which we really did need it badly at that point. There was an informational web page, castroguys.com, that was set up just to give basic information and to generate interest, as well as informational postcards and posters and Castro Guys t-shirts, which had the "We need it bad" slogan, along with a very graphic image, which I couldn't wear today because I have too much of that reputation within APHA. Some of the activities that were done with the help of a group called Brandism was really intensive questioning of the community. What do you want, and what do you want to see in this place? So we started with 200 street intercept surveys right in front of the location that we knew we wanted to be in, which was smack dab in the cross of 18th and Castro Street in 94114, the zip code with still the highest HIV and STD rates in San Francisco. It also gave us a chance to gain sort of what the perceptions and needs of the community were and to really talk face-to-face with the gentlemen that we were seeing. That also allowed us to recruit participants for idea chats, basically focus groups, but with storyboards that gave people a few more clues than you would have in a general focus group, and helped us along those questions of sexual explicitness and do you want to stay or not. It also helped us gain credibility as a truly community-based initiative project rather than something from the health department or the state or the CDC saying you need. So out of the idea chats, we had 4 groups, 10 participants, each 90-minute sessions. One was of community leaders. Most of those were public health wonks, so we realized we needed more than that. From that, we then went to 3 community groups, one of HIV-positive men, one of HIV-negative men, and one of combined. In San Francisco, the HIV-positive side is extremely important since within the gay men's community, about 30 to 40% of the population is HIV-positive. And as I said before, it followed a storyboard design. After we found out what everybody wanted and where they wanted it to be, the CAB, Castro Guys, the Community Advisory Board, set about to develop core values. That took, it seemed, about 5 years, as most community advisory processes take. But I'm not going to read the top part, but the 5 core values that they came up with guide us to this day. And they're self-determination, and that really is that gay men have the right to determine where they go, how they take care of themselves, and how they take care of their sexual health. In an age of, after 20 or 30 years, of being told that this was a community that was diseased and killing the rest of the United States, that was really important. Access, I think we all understand the need for access to health and social services. It just is something, a basic right that's not often expressed. Sexual expression, well, we're talking sexual health. So if you can't talk about sexual health and talk about body parts and show body parts and be comfortable about that, that's going to be a problem, especially when you look at some of the studies showing doctors' ability to talk to gay men about such things as the anus, the penis, and anal sex, almost impossible. Diversity, we have taken that to mean both sexual, gender, racial, ethnic, economic, about everything you can think of. And leadership. This is one of our most important. We, at the time, refused to take CDC prevention dollars because of the Helms Act, which really restricts what you can do with HIV funding. And this was a way to say no to the federal government, that we can actually, with the help of Bristol-Myers Squibb and Mayor Brown's office, we can do active, great work without your funds and without those restrictions on what you can show and do around HIV prevention. So the final project was MAGNET, Gay Men's Community Health Center. I'm also using the word gay men's because we don't think of ourselves as MSMs, men who have sex with men. We are people. We're not acronyms. It is a storefront location in the heart of the Castro District of San Francisco. We offer, recognizing the need for both individual health and really true prevention within the community, we do individual health services and community building activities to sort of dovetail and catch it from both sides. We have a website, magnetsf.org, that reflects and tries to reflect the community and serves as a resource both for our services but also for other services that gay men may need locally in the country and internationally. This is a picture of the storefront. We didn't tell people what we were going to do when we opened up. Some people knew we were going to do STD testing and HIV testing, and those who did said they're never going to come into a place that's all windows. You will never get people to do sexual health testing in a curtainless window storefront. And we told them we were wrong. We thought that they could. You might also notice that it doesn't really look like a clinic. This over here on the far side is an art wall that shows local gay artists on a monthly basis. It is designed by the men who took out those surveys and did those focus groups in a very expensive interior designer, because recognizing that going with community norms and being in the Castro, we couldn't have a dump if we wanted people to utilize it. This is a picture of the homepage of the website. We also realized that we needed a website that showed every aspect of our community. So we early on did a photo shoot of community members, thinking that we would have a hard time finding men to pose for this in various states of dress and undress. We had 75 men who gave up an hour of their time. We had co-worked with a professional photographer, Dwayne Kramer, who is listed there. You can see him next to links. 75 men. We have 1,500 photos, which we constantly swap out throughout the page, and every page has about 10 to 15 photos, which can be enlarged and really show beautiful, beautiful men. Individual health services, this is what we do on the individual side, testing and treatment for syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. We do confidential rapid HIV testing and RNA testing for diagnosis. I should acknowledge Dale Blue sitting down there with the Giardia toy in his pocket, who is the HIV director at Magnet. We also do, we use at this point three different rapid tests outside of OraQuick to try a new sense. So we actually can give probably the most up-to-the-minute diagnosis of any place in the country right now. Hepatitis A and B vaccinations, flu shots are going on while we're gone. And it's nice to set those up and leave. We offer substance use and mental health counseling, and then in cooperation with other agencies and local practitioners, acupuncture, massage, hypnotherapy, and nutritional counseling, and all of this is free of charge. Nothing at Magnet costs a penny. Some of the community building activities we do. Free internet access in a city where there is no Wi-Fi availability, although we're in Silicon Valley, you would think. We have four computers that people can use for whatever they want. We've noticed, though, that the most active use is on internet dating and sex sites. But we're happy for that because that's what the community wants, and we figured if you know where to find and hook up with somebody, you'll also know where to get tested, and you'll also know where to come back to take care of yourself. We do town hall forums. We did, for instance, one on barebacking for positive men, which was looking at the positive partner study data. Book readings, open mics. We have a monthly open mic smack dab. People can do 5 minutes of whatever they want. And in 2 weeks, it will be its fourth anniversary. Again, all free. Local exhibits of gay artists. For the last year, we have been doing a monthly black, gay, and bisexual men's social and potluck. And I'm going to try and change that name because it's a thing to pronounce. Recognizing that an endemic problem within the Castro District and within the gay men's community in San Francisco is an extreme level of racism and an extreme level of racism towards African American men. So this is a way to provide a space for black, gay, and bisexual men to meet with their friends and their supporters in one of the most expensive white neighborhoods in the country. We also have other things to do that are a little fun. I'm the proud sponsor of two Easy Bake Oven bake-offs. I'm sure you can figure what that is if you think about Easy Bake Ovens and the Pillsbury Bake-Off. I presented, I believe, at APHA a few years ago on Open Up, which was an HIV prevention poster contest, asking members of the community to design prevention posters that would be more reflective and more responsive to our community rather than the ones we were seeing. This is a picture of the art wall. We also do things to really link sexual health and to talk about gay men's bodies. So 2 years ago, we did, during October at the Castro Street Fair, something called the Penis Project, which was to take Polaroid pictures of men's penises flaccid, not erect, because that if you see any image of a penis in the Castro, it's going to be an erect penis. They all look the same. They're all about the same size. We want men to be comfortable with their bodies, to be able to speak about their bodies, and to be able to share their bodies. So one afternoon, I spent the afternoon taking 350 of those things, and we had them up on the wall for a month. And we also sold posters, which I didn't make a copy of that. This was the next year. Print your favorite body part, because, again, we want people to be comfortable, and we wanted people to look at their bodies in different ways. This was the 30-foot community canvas of people's bodies, which was also up for that month as well, and that was a reception when we opened it up. This I'm just having up because we also, the first year, we did butt prints. Another thing. We also were branding ourselves as something fun and a place you could go for health and have a good time. And remarkably, the next year, Levi Strauss stole the butt print idea from us. One of the people who had a print was an employee of the advertising department. And you might notice there is a print of a jean print there. So we knew we were doing well when a international conglomerate stole our ideas and turned it into their advertising campaign for jeans. So some of the lessons learned. High demand for neighborhood services. That's a duh. You shouldn't have to travel outside of your neighborhood to get health services. Provision of services by community members and we operate on a customer service model. So we don't call them patients, we don't call them clients, we call them customers. increases your utilization and rate of return for treatment to a dramatic effect. We were designed to see 1,500 men a year. We see over 4,000. And we have a 95% rate of return for treatment after one phone call or email. Training and utilization of community volunteers for service provision, and this is probably the most, creates capacity within your community for taking care of yourselves and builds your capacity and ownership. Considerations for replication, because there are little magnets going up all over this country and all over this world. Lima, Peru is the last to ask us. The model is not the storefront location. The model is talking to your community about what they need and providing them with what they say. It's expensive. It costs us $10,000 a month just for that building because it's in a very expensive neighborhood, but the rate of return is worth it. Include a volunteer coordinator in your program planning, because we didn't. And if you're utilizing volunteers, that means you spend most of your time trying to figure out what to do. And be prepared for for success and an absolute success of being overwhelmed. People want this type of project. Quickly, we're looking at two surveys now. We did a survey of volunteers to see what their experience was like, and we're doing another survey of the community to check back in with them to see what we're doing and if we're doing it right. And I'm going to leave that up because I don't need to talk anymore. And I mentioned the foundation. So thank you.